Vintage string pads from scratch for old school D&B vibes. Advanced session. Let's build one of those proper 90s jungle pad bids. Not shiny, not cinematic, and definitely not trying to be the main character. This is the kind of pad that feels like it came off a sampler CD, got chorused by some slightly busted rack unit, then tucked behind a breakbeat and a reese, so it just glues the whole tune together. Before we touch a synth, set the scene like a D&B producer, not like a sound designer in a vacuum. Set your project tempo to 172 BPM. Anywhere from 165 to 175 is valid, but 172 is the classic everything snaps into place zone. Drop in a basic drum loop. It can be a break. It can be a placeholder. The point is, we're going to tune the pad to the groove and to the space the drums need. Create a new MIDI track and name it PAD Strings. Quick mindset check. In jungle and D&B, pads are usually mid-focused and wide, while kick, snare, and sub stay dominant in mono. So we're building width and vibe, but we're also building discipline. Now, load Ableton Analog on PAD strings. For oscillators, keep it simple and correct. Oscillator 1 is a saw wave at 8 foot. Bring the volume down a bit, around minus 6 dB. Oscillator 2 is also a saw at 8 foot, but to tune it slightly, somewhere like plus 8 to plus 15 cents, and set it a touch quieter, like minus 10 dB. Sub oscillator stays off. Indeed, NB, pads don't need sub. If you leave sub in, you'll end up high passing it later anyway, and you'll fight your bass for no reason. Now the filter. This is where the string pad illusion starts happening, because real vintage pad strings are basically band limited and resonant in a flattering way. Set the filter to a 24 dB low pass, LP24. Put the cutoff somewhere in the 1.2 kHz to 2.5 kHz range. Start around 1.8 kHz. Add resonance around 15 to 25%. You're looking for a little sing at the cutoff, not a whistle. Add a bit of drive, like 2 to 6 dB, just to rough up the edges. And turn key tracking up to maybe 30 to 50%, so higher notes don't get completely dull. That's a big one. Without key tracking, you play up the keyboard and your pad just disappears. Now the amp envelope. This is the bow and the swell. Attack around 35 to 80 milliseconds. You want it to avoid clicking but still respond musically. Decay around 2 to 4 seconds. Sustain not full. Pull it down to maybe minus 6 to minus 12 dB. That not fully sustaining behavior is part of what makes it feel organic instead of a static synth organ. Release long. 2.5 to 6 seconds depending on how smeary you want it. Add a little filter envelope movement so it blooms when you press the chord. Keep it small. Envelope amount like 10 to 20%. Filter envelope attack around 80 to 200 milliseconds, and release 2 to 5 seconds. Hold a chord and listen. You want the sound to open slightly, then settle into a steady bed. Now we go for the 90s secret sauce. Ensemble wobble. This is the part that takes it from two saws to oh yeah, that's the thing. After analog, load chorus ensemble and put it in ensemble mode. Amount around 25 to 45%. Rate around 0.2 to 0.45 Hz. Width up. Like 120 to 170%. Mix around 35 to 55%. Teacher tip. If you notice the chord feeling seasick, it's almost never the rate. It's usually too much mix or too much amount. Back those down first. Then add shifter for micro detune width. Set it to pitch mode. Pitch to plus 6 cents. Dry slash wet around 10 to 20%. The goal is subtle drift and extra body. Not an obvious doubled note. If you're on an older live or you prefer it, you can use frequency shifter with an extremely slow modulation, like 1 to 3 Hz. Tiny wet, keep it barely audible. Two small movement sources at different speeds will feel more organic than one big chorus. Alright, now we make it sampler era. This is where you stop sounding like a modern soft synth and start sounding like resampled pad from a 90s box. First, EQ 8 for band limiting. High pass the pad somewhere between 120 and 220 Hz. Don't be shy. Pads in D&B get muddy fast, and your bass will do the heavy lifting down there. Then low pass between 7 and 11 kHz. Don't kill all the air, just make it feel like it came through limited bandwidth. If the pad clouds your snare body, try a small dip around 300 to 450 Hz. If it fights the attack of breaks or hats, try a gentle dip around 2 to 4 kHz. Don't carve huge holes yet. Small moves, because you'll likely sidechain it and add reverb, and that changes perceived masking. Next, add saturator. Turn soft clip on. Drive anywhere from 2 to 7 dB depending on taste. Then compensate output so you're not fooled by loudness. That's a huge pro move. Match the level before and after so you're judging tone. not volume, now redux, but lightly. Set bit reduction around 10 to 14 bits. Start at 12. Downsample around 1.2 to 2.5, just a tiny pinch. Dry slash wet around 10 to 25%. If you go too far, the chord loses its emotional smoothness and becomes crunchy in a bad way. We want haze, not demolition. Quick coaching note on gain staging. Before your chorus and reverb, try to keep the raw synth at a sensible level. Think in the ballpark of minus 18 to minus 12 dB FS RNS-ish. Not a rule, but a good zone. All jungle pads feel huge because the drums are louder, not because the pad is pinned at the ceiling. If you want a clean workflow, put a utility before your time-based effects and automate that gain per section. Intro can be louder, drop can be quieter, while your reverb behavior stays consistent. Now let's give it a 90s space that behaves at 172. Add hybrid reverb, or regular reverb if you prefer a simpler vibe. For hybrid reverb, choose a hall or plate. Decay around 2.5 to 5.5 seconds. Pre-delay 18 to 35 milliseconds so the snare can crack before the verb blooms. Size around 80 to 120%. Low cut the reverb, around 250 to 450 Hz and high cut around 6 to 9 kHz. Wet around 15 to 30%. Important D-D-N-B rule. Reverb must be filtered. Full range reverb is basically a snare assassin. Filter the tail, and suddenly you can have long lush space without losing punch. Now sidechain the pad to the break. This is classic rolling clarity. Put a compressor after the reverb. Enable sidechain, and feed it from your drum bus or break group. Ratio around 3:1 to 6:1. Attack 5 to 15 milliseconds so the transient still exists a tiny bit, then gets controlled. Release around 80 to 180 milliseconds and time it to the groove. Set the threshold so you see about 3 to 7 dB of gain reduction on kick and snare hits. And here is the advanced thought: the shape matters more than the amount. If your pad feels like it's constantly ducking and never recovering, shorten the release, or go for a two-stage duck concept: a quick small dip for the kick, and a slightly deeper slower dip for the snare. You can do that with different sidechain sources or with a more precise shaping tool. But even with one compressor, you can often find a release time where it breathes musically instead of just panicking. Now we turn this into a performance-ready instrument rack. Group analog and all your effects into an instrument rack. Then macro it like an instrument, not like a science project. Macro 1. Tone. Map it to analog filter cutoff, and maybe a tiny range of saturator drive so when you brighten it, it also gets a bit more push. Macro 2. Wobble. Map chorus amount and maybe a small range of rate. Keep the range small so the macro always sounds usable. Macro 3. Space. Map reverb wet and decay together. Macro 4. Pump. Map compressor threshold so you can tighten or relax the ducking. Macro 5. Dust. Map redux dry slash wet. Macro 6. Width. Add utility at the end and map width. Set it somewhere like 120 to 160% as a starting point. Also, if your utility has bass mono, set bass mono somewhere around 120 to 200 Hz. Even though we've high-passed the pad, this helps keep any stereo weirdness out of the low-mid zone. Now do the mono compatibility check early, not at the end when you're emotionally attached. Set utility width to 0% and listen. If the pad collapses into thin facey sadness, reduce chorus mix, reduce micro to tune wet, or move your width tricks later in the chain. Sometimes widening post-reverb is safer than widening the dry pad too much. Next up, make it behave like a tune, not a loop. Arrangement moves. Intro, first 16 bars, start with pad high-passed harder, like 300 to 500 Hz. Automate the cutoff opening slowly. Keep it wide and spacey, and if you like, sprinkle in a break ghost or vinyl noise. The vibe is setting the room. Not here's the chord progression. Everybody look. Drop section, like bars 16 to 48, the pad becomes support. This is where advanced producers stop holding 4-bar chords and start using shorter phrases. Try stabs or swells every 2 bars. Sidechain should be strongest here. You want the drums to feel like they're cutting through fog, not like they're trapped inside it. Breakdown or second intro, like bars 48 to 64. Let the pad breathe. Reduce sidechain. Open the reverb slightly, and introduce tension with a tasteful dissonance note. A classic move is a minor second or a tritone at low level, just enough menace to raise eyebrows without sounding like you hit the wrong key. Second drop, bring it back with variation. Change inversion slightly. Push dust up 5 to 10%. Maybe reduce width a touch so the center feels heavier, and then when your drums slam back in, the whole tune feels more solid. Now, optional but extremely authentic, resembling. Freeze the PAD strings track, flatten it to audio. Load simpler in classic mode and drop that audio in. Turn warp off for a more authentic sampled behavior, unless you want modern stability. Turn loop on and find a stable section of the tail. Add little fade in and fade out to avoid clicks. This is the magic. Once the pad is printed, it stops behaving like a pristine synth and starts behaving like a recorded thing. Then you can reprocess it. Band limit again. Saturate, reverb, sidechain. Often it sits better immediately in a dense DNB mix, because it's no longer infinite and perfect. Let's talk common mistakes so you can dodge them in real time. Too much low-end. Pads fighting the sub equals instant mud. High pass aggressively and don't apologize. Over chorusing. It sounds lush solo, then you add bass and everything clashes harmonically. Subtle winds. Reverb full range. Filter your reverb or lose your snare. No sidechain. In rolling DNB, pads must breathe with the break. That's the genre. Overly complex chords. At 172, pads read as motion more than harmonic detail. Voice leading is more important than stacking fancy extensions. Move one or two notes between chords and let the ear follow that evolution. Quick chord coaching. Write like you have two hands. Left hand plays one or two notes, often without the root, because your bass covers it. Right hand adds color tones. Keep the cluster above about 250 Hz so you don't fight the fundamental energy of the track. Now a mini practice exercise to lock this in. Build two variations and arrange them into a 32-bar loop. Write a two-chord loop in F minor. Try FM9 to DB Maj 7 if you want that moody, classic feel. Or go simpler. FM to DB. Variation is your intro version. High pass at 400 Hz, more reverb, less pump. Variation beat is your drop version. High pass around 180 Hz, less reverb, stronger sidechain, slightly more saturation. Arrange it like this. Bars 1 through 9, variation filtered and spacious. Bars 9 through 17, automate the cutoff opening and reduce reverb. Bars 17 through 33, variation beat under full drums with strong pump. Then do two exports or at least two checks. First, check mono. Does it still read as stringy or does it vanish? Second, listen to the drums and sub with the pad. Does the snare still crack? And can you still hear bass note definition? If not, you don't need a new pad. You need less low mid, less reverb range, or a better duck shape. This audio version is shortened for playback.